Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to Quarters and Duff for your wash up of the weekend's footy round four quarters. If the Hawks were gone after round three, they're a lot further gone now.
Yes. Watching Sunday's game was a bit like putting Kerplunk sticks into my eyes would be less painful, I reckon. It was just awful to watch. And, gee, their last quarter's are diabolical at the moment.
Their second halves are diabolical. The third quarter against the Suns, the last quarter against Geelong the other day was horrible. I guess when it crumbles and you've been the dynasty that the Hawks have been, you crumble from a great height and it looks worse.
It's further to fall. And you look at those players, they've effectively been at the pointy end since 2011, if you take Luke Ball's kick that put Hawthorn out of the grand final in 2011. They were up for so long. And, you know, that's a long time to be at the coalface and, you know, finals footy and the intensity of it. Starting to show, really, and it's no surprise, really.
So, okay, so what round four, Good Friday football, we give that a big tick?
Absolutely, we give it a tick. It was a long time coming, and I think I enjoyed it, and I think most people did. My straw poll did anyway. I think most people loved the concept.
Do we keep it one game, or do we try and milk it for more?
I'd keep it one game at the moment, see how it goes for a couple of years, and then there's no reason down the track why you can't get two or three games on Good Friday.
I like the idea of keeping it a standalone. I like the idea of giving some of the lesser Melbourne clubs a blockbuster, so I think that's good. And speaking of blockbusters, the biggest home and away game that there is, Anzac Day, Collingwood versus Essendon.
But it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be the only one.
No. I'm big on a Derby Anzac Day game. I just think it would be fantastic. You can have your Essendon Collingwood afternoon game and into a 5:40 perhaps Eagles Dockers Derby. Just what a great day that would be. The only point is, I guess, you go to a dawn service and it's a very long day, but yeah. Just what a great day. You go to a dawn service, you have your Anzac lunch, you watch the footy, and then you peg back into a 5:40 game. And just a terrific way to spend Anzac Day, and of course, it's our great game. It's our Indigenous game. And, you know, we're a passionate game, I guess, meets a day of passion.
So they've already got an Anzac Eve game, of course. Melbourne get that now. And that's a big clash next week. Melbourne play Richmond on Anzac Eve. So the Tigers are gradually building a bit of a resume of blockbusters as well when you factor in Dreamtime at the G, and they also get the season opener against the team that they beat every year now in Carlton.
Yeah, big Melbourne clubs and derbies, and I think they should encourage those and milk those as much as they can, as we should over here.
We shouldn't overdo it, though. In past years, we've had Fremantle have had the Lean Hall game, which has sometimes gone on Anzac Day. You think that a derby would automatically be a really, really big event and bigger than a normal derby would be?
Not all derbies are big, but I think it's just a great way to commemorate the day here. And look, the West Coast have done great things with their HMAS Sydney game. It doesn't have to be on or around Anzac Day. It can be any time of year as long as they're playing Sydney. And I think the Len Hall game can perhaps blend into the derby Anzac Day game. So I think it would add just another notch to a great game. And you're talking four or five rounds into the season generally. So it gets the season, you build into the season, and you've got this derby. I think it would be fantastic.
Okay, I'll throw another one at you. Instead of the derby being someone's home game, why shouldn't it be a shared fixture? So basically,
absolutely,
West Coast and Fremantle have 10 home games each, and then there's a two-game derby series, which is basically a shared fixture between the two.
Great idea. You're a thinking man, Duff. That's a great idea. I think that would be. And perhaps shared marketing as well, and shared seats, shared corporate suites.
So this is something we're both happy about. Now let's talk about something that I'm not happy about, rules.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest footy news, expert tips and in-depth analysis from WA's leading football writers in the pre-game lift-out every week in the West Australian.
Third man up rule was turned into a joke on three-quarter time in the Good Friday clash between the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne.
Two nominated ruckmen. No one knew what was going on, but look.
And the team that actually broke the rules got the free kick.
Yeah, it's happened a few times this year. I like the idea of the rule. I just don't like the administration of the rule at the moment, and it is a little bit Auskickish. And if they get it right, I know what they're trying to do. It's just not coming off at the moment, and everyone's throwing their hands in the air and fans are confused.
So this rule is to protect ruckman. Why can't the umpire just call what he sees? And if he sees 2v1 in the ruck contest, he penalises the team with two.
Well, he could, but I guess that's been a grey area in the past. And so this is maybe making it a little bit simpler for the umpires, but it's probably made it a bit more complex, really. So,
it has, because teams look to exploit it, don't they? We saw Richmond do it with Sean Grigg.
As early as round one, exactly.
So. And to me, it's just leaving yourself open. Let the umpire call what he sees. And if one team puts two up against one, that team concedes the free kick.
Yep.
The other one... And I know what the rule... I'm a bit like you with the third man up rule. I know why this rule is in place, and I like the spirit of the rule. But the deliberate out-of-bounds rule, they should rename it. It's completely at the discretion of the umpire rule now. And they penalise some, and some get away with it. And some of the penalties are incredibly harsh, i.e. against Shane Kirsten and David Zaharakis on the weekend. And others are incredibly lenient. I just think if we're going to do this and the spirit is of the law is that players keep the ball in play, then if it's a clear kick and it is a clear handball and it goes out of bounds, just give it to the other team. Let's take away the ambiguity here.
I agree. I think you either have it or you don't. I think we're going to get to a point where there will be a scrambled kick. It will be out of bounds. It will cost someone a grand final. And it will be totally unfair. I think you either have it or you don't. It's black or white. So if it's out of bounds, it's the other team's free kick. It was the last touch. That's the way I'd go with it, regardless. I wouldn't, again, there could be grey areas. You kick it into someone, it dribbles over the boundary line. That has to be policed. But I think if you go for the long bomb and it does dribble over the boundary lines untouched, there's a free kick to the opposition. At least you know the rule then. You know it. And could even add a little bit of excitement to the game. But just on those two, I could make a case for the Zaharakis, but I certainly couldn't for Kirsten. I watched it over and over again, and that is ridiculous.
He's missed the points by a metre from 65 metres.
Yeah.
And they said that's...
It's a great skill.
It is a great skill.
Delivered out of bounds from there, great skill.
And you know what I wondered what he was doing? I'm not convinced that he was actually trying to kick a score, but I think the way he pulled the kick, I suspect what he was trying to do was to get the ball deep into the forward pocket.
Of course.
And keep it in play, and then get... maybe a stop play situation in the forward pocket without kicking it out of bounds. So maybe they could argue that he wasn't trying hard enough to keep the ball in play, but you're doing a lot of mind reading as an umpire when you penalise that.
And I guess the difference between the two incidents, the Zaharakis and the Kirsten, is that the Zaharakis, the game was all over, but the Kirsten could have cost them the game, and I would hate to have seen that happen. I'll tell you what, there has been a hue and cry, but imagine if they'd lost the game.
See, and they weren't even the worst ones. Sometimes they're ones we notice and sometimes there are ones we don't. In the Thursday night, Easter Thursday game between West Coast and Sydney, I saw Callum Sinclair take a kick out of a pack on centre wing, and I had the perfect angle on it through the player traffic. The ball slewed off the inside of his boot, went out of bounds. There wasn't a Sydney player near it. He got penalised. It was a complete accident, and he got penalised. Then a little bit later on, Jamie Cripps, I think it was, took the ball inside attacking 50, kicked the balls, ball slewed off the instep, ran out of bounds in the forward pocket, gave West Coast absolute primo field position in a scoring position. There was no West Coast player near the ball. The umpire said, no, that was an accident, throw the ball in. So some are getting paid, some are not getting paid. It's making a nonsense of it.
Well, that's my very argument, though. If you make it black and white, even though you may be unlucky at times, that's just the game, that's the bounce of the ball. And at least it takes out that randomness about it. And, again, could add another element to the game.
For the most in-depth analysis on where the big matches were won and lost, get the Game Lift out every Monday in the West Australian.
So how's the MRP, the Max Review Panel, going on consistency this week? What mark would you give them out of 10?
Four.
Four?
I think, look, Josh Gibson's pretty lucky to be playing this weekend.
Correct. Tom Ruggles still thinks he's Bowden Jaworski.
Well... Look, you do that happens, but I think there has to be some element of you. There's got to be some sort of protection when you're on the mark, and he had none at all, and wasn't expecting that impact. Wasn't low impact for mine either, I can tell you that much. It was pretty high impact.
So. I accept it's a complete accident, but it's a complete accident caused by your decision to bump. And they pretend that he doesn't have other options. Of course he has other options. The old shepherd, where you just turn your back, put your arms out, block the player who's going to tackle, and your teammate runs on unimpeded. There was no need to apply the force that Josh applied.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I agree with you. I'm not sure it was intentional, but I don't think that you should ever, when you're not contesting the ball, be subject to that sort of force. I don't think it's right.
So what about Cloak and Zeeble?
Well, again, I mean, I think. Look, with it's a hard game, but I think you could argue the case.
To me, late causes injury, player liable. Cloak won't play for 5 or 6 weeks with broken ribs. That, to me, tells me that Jack Zeeble should be sitting on the
sideline. Yeah, was there an element of him swinging onto the... I mean, did Cloak contribute it to himself, perhaps?
I think in that situation, if you're there in time, you can tackle or you can smother. If you're not there in time, all you can do is bump. He wasn't there in time.
Are you happy with the two Geelong boys getting a bit of a holiday? Poor old Hodgie, I think he is probably the only one who could put his hand up and say, I cracked 35 touches and he just copped it.
The Menegola one, I think Sam Menegola is a ball player, but that's a sling tackle. They don't like that. I think that's either going to be a week or a fine, and he copped the higher end of that. And the other guy, Parsons, wasn't it, who you don't like seeing guys clipping with their elbows on the way through. It's an instinct thing, and I'm sure he's trying to bump him and he's gotten it wrong, but at the end of the day, an elbow to the head is weeks. I thought Mark Lecrae was lucky too. Late and high on Alirelia on Thursday night. Alirelia was stunned. For that to be a fine, to me, I think player was lucky, probably should have gotten the week.
Just looking forward, Mitchell, should he play or should he rest? They've got a bit of a tough run coming up, the Eagles. After Sunday.
Good question. Do they need Sam Mitchell to beat Hawthorn in their current state?
No.
Will Sam Mitchell want to play against his old team?
Yes.
So
he would want to be a part of that.
I suspect Sam Mitchell will be playing this week.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure how he's come up. I'll be more 40-60 in my opinion. But
So look, Derby after this weekend.
Yes.
So if you were Sam Mitchell and you get the chance to play against your old team in Melbourne, or you get the chance to play in your first derby, what are you choosing?
Old team in Melbourne. I think he wants to play in that game. But look,
and what should West Coast list management be choosing?
The week after. I think so. They can beat Hawthorn without Sam Mitchell.
Interesting team selection coming for West Coast.
Got Port coming up too. Port, Giants, Essendon. There's some tough games for the Eagles.
Now, I enjoy a drink as much as the next bloke. Quarters, unless the next bloke is Harley Bennell.
Get WA's best match day footy reporting with expert analysis and breaking news every weekend in the Sunday Times.
I'm sure Harley Bennell wants to play AFL, but how badly does he want to play AFL? And I'd suggest not very badly, because he's made some pretty dumb decisions over the weekend.
Yep.
Made some dumb decisions over the course of the journey, but particularly last weekend. I'm not sure why he's flying with soft tissue. I'm not sure why, you know.
Why he's drinking with soft tissue.
Why he's even drinking. I mean, look, we all do like a drink, but in his particular circumstances, I would think, I ask the question, how badly does he want this? And at the moment, it seems really not all that badly.
Well, given his circumstances, not badly enough, because he has an injury which is going to make his ability to play AFL football questionable and marginal over the next 12 to 18 months. If he doesn't get on an AFL field over the next 12 to 18 months, it's career over.
Yep.
And if he stuffs up again off the field, I would suspect it's career over, because I think Fremantle will ride the course of his contract with him as long as he's doing the rehab diligently and being a good citizen. But I don't see them allowing him to embarrass them the way he's embarrassed them in this. And this injury for him, Quarters, to me, is a 24-hour-a-day, seven-day-a-week injury. He needs to be taking care of it. He will argue that other players don't, but other players don't have his personal circumstances.
Exactly. And the worst thing you can do is drink at the moment. Yep. He just needs to get off it and get it right.
I absolutely agree with you.
For live match day blogs, the best footy videos and all the breaking news, head to thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au.
Let's swing into round five, mate. Friday night, Port Adelaide v Carlton at the Adelaide Oval. I don't have to think twice about this. I think we're seeing a lot of effort from Carlton, but it's been left to too few. And I think Port, with Paddy Ryder back particularly, be too strong.
Port Adelaide, absolutely. Port Adelaide's form's been impressive. They run into two very good teams in the last 2 weeks.
And led them in the last quarter, both teams, so before they were run over the top of. But they've been impressive, Port.
Yep.
Saturday, Western Bulldogs v Brisbane, and I suppose we can't let the opportunity pass without tailing Bob. 300 games, Bob Murphy.
Bob the poet.
Yes, we love him, don't we?
He's a great player. He's a good person for football to have. It was one of the great moments when he was called onto the stage.
Yep.
In the grand final last year. I'm sure it still burns that a guy that had played so often wasn't able to be there when they finally held up the cup as a player. But I think the entire football world will look forward to him playing, and he will celebrate with a win.
And I agree with that. And a special mention for Stephen Martin too, who started the year off really well. 57 hit-outs last week. He's been terrific. And Rockliffe in form as well. Very good for Brisbane.
It's always good to see a guy who has something taken from him bounce back. And yep. Tommy Rockliffe has bounced back very well.
There's no time to lose if you want to share in over $150,000 in prizes with the game. Footy Tipping, Pick 7, and Draft Fantasy. Sign up now and get your tips in at thegame.com.au.
Gold Coast v Adelaide at Metricon. Interesting game. This Gold Coast found a bit of form. You could argue who have they beaten, Hawthorn Carlton. But Adelaide 4-0, best start since 98, I think. So offensively, terrific team. Defensively, very, very settled down there. And the midfield's been surprisingly quick and good this year. Adelaide for mine.
Adelaide will win this, I reckon. But this is a great opportunity for Gold Coast to measure where they're at. If they can get into this game and make this a game midway through the last quarter, they can tick this off as we have taken a step forward. What we don't want to see is another 10-goal blowout where Gold Coast don't turn up. So I'm really interested to see this one. I think Adelaide wins.
Is this the new audit playing Adelaide?
At the moment it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they move the ball so well, you've got to be able to score against them and you've got to be able to hold them up so well. So it tests both sides of your game.
Sydney v GWS at the SCG, and just when you thought it was safe to go back to spotless, Jonathan Patton kicked 6. So they just get stronger and stronger and stronger. Sydney could get a few back this week.
And SCG.
Yes.
It's going to be a Sydney home game, so yep. That brings them into a little bit.
Have they been the best 0-4 you've seen for a while, Sydney?
No, North Melbourne has.
Okay.
Sydney's been a good 0-4,
yep.
Given they've played kids. And they've been in most of the games they've played. North Melbourne could have won 2, played good oppo every week. I think that is as good a 0-4 as you're going to get in
and,
footy.
And Sydney, Parker, Jack, Hanbury not been particularly impressive this year so far. So
yep.
They get that right. They get 4, maybe 2 of the 4 back this week.
You tip GWS?
I'm tipping GWS, yes.
I'm tipping GWS, but I'm tipping not by much. I think this is almost 50-50, mm-hmm. This game.
I'd agree with that.
Get WA's best match day footy reporting with expert analysis and breaking news every weekend in the Sunday Times.
Freo v North Melbourne at Domain. And
similar thing here, I reckon. I think Fremantle will start favourites after their last 2 weeks, and they've been terrific and were absolutely fantastic in that seesawing game against Melbourne at the MCG on the weekend. But as I mentioned earlier, I think North 0-4 is as good a 0-4 as I've seen.
Yeah, Freo, what I've liked about the last 2 weeks is they've set the standard and then they've been challenged and they've met that challenge head on. That's what I've really liked about Freo the last 2 weeks. So I'm expecting another effort like that this weekend.
Yep.
I'm going to pick Freo, and I love the way McCarthy's building.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's almost been the best part of it, I think.
Sunday, St Kilda v Geelong at Etihad Stadium. I'm not sure whether there will be a Dangerwood this week. Paddy was a bit sore after last week's game against the Hawks.
Nice little knee in the ribs early on.
Yes. I'm going to pick the Saints to win this one. It's an upset. I'm still... They're 4-0. They've been very good, but I'm still not convinced with Geelong beneath that elite surface. And I'll tell you who I do like the look of this year is Dylan Robinson as well, former Freo kid.
Sweeping up very nicely across halfback, and he uses the ball very well. I'm going to stay with Geelong, but I know exactly what you're saying, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Saints get up.
Hawthorn v West Coast at the MCG, 86-86, and... Eagles will win this. I don't think it'll be...
They won't win by 86.
They won't win by 86, but I would... think it's a 4-6 goal win to the Eagles. You just want to see some competitive effort from Hawthorn this week.
Yeah, and some indication that they are able to move the ball and score, which has been one of their great strengths, and it's been a real problem for them this year. They've looked quite impotent with the ball in hand, and you would hope they're not that bad because there's not a lot waiting for them for the draft unless they trade back in. So you would hope that we see the great players of Hawthorn make a stand.
Now, McGovern, does he stay forward in your book?
No.
I'd have him forward. I like him forward. I think it takes a bit of pressure off Kennedy, and when Darling's back there, it's another string to their bow up there. I'd keep him up there for a while.
I think what they lack, I think they've got two good targets in attack. Everyone gets down on Jack Darling. Jack Darling is a 40-goal-a-year second forward. There's nothing wrong with that. He may not take games by the scruff of the neck like everyone wants him to, but he performs a role. I think McGovern's the best at what he does in the AFL, and when you've got someone who's the best at what they do in the AFL, you keep them doing it. I fully understand why they tried Jeremy McGovern forward in the last game, but I would have him back where he plays his best.
So your Eagles?
Eagles comfortably.
Monday, Richmond v Melbourne at the MCG. Best start for the Tigers in 22 years, but it's been a pretty lean 22 years. And aren't they up and about, the Tigers?
And what have they beaten? That's the big question. West Coast was a good win at the MCG, but West Coast does have issues at the MCG.
Exactly. Yeah, they haven't beaten a lot. But they've done nothing wrong, and you can only beat who you play. I mean, it's not really. I mean, that's what's been put in front of them. They've been pretty impressive. So
the D's get Jesse Hogan back.
Yes.
He's given up smoking and going to music festivals. No Jordan Lewis back.
No Gorn. And they were smashed in the ruck last week. They really were hurt. So, look, I think that's what gets Richmond over the line for me.
Yep. I'll tip Richmond. I'm just waiting for Richmond to fall over.
Well, we all are. And most of us will enjoy it.
And we'll be very surprised if we're not proven right as well. That's the
they
other
just
thing.
Keep winning. I don't know what I'm going to do if they keep winning.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest footy news, expert tips and in-depth analysis from WA's leading football writers in the pre-game lift-out every week in the West Australian.
Into Tuesday and Anzac Day. Looking forward to it as always. Interesting bit of byplay during the week. Woosh is saying that the year off is finally hurting a few of the blokes, and Dyson Heppel saying, no, it's not. We're just building into form.
So what, are they tired?
Well, they are, yes. Well, they're just not blending. They've been so long out of footy, and all of a sudden they're into a new season, and it is a hard game. So I think that's the point he's trying to make. Heppel saying, no, we're building to something special. So
I must admit, I shouldn't laugh at what Bush has said, because I thought that would be an issue for Essendon, trying to get 10 to 12 blokes back into their team who hadn't played for a season. It was always going to be tough. I was figuring that some would respond well and some wouldn't, and that's going to be hard to keep them up and get that collective effort that gets you over the line. I still think they can beat Collingwood, and I think Nathan Buckley's in a world of hurt.
Yeah, look, I think he's in a world of hurt. I'm going to pick the Pies, but the caveat is, God, they've got to kick straight. Because it's been a common thread throughout their start of the year, but they do have to kick straight. And a lot of pressure on Darcy Moore, which is probably not fair. He's playing a bit of a lone hand up there. But
Jesse White, which is probably not realistic.
Exactly, yeah. And look, Darcy Moore, he's still a young emerging player too. So I'm going to pick the Pies, but not with a lot of confidence.
All right, well, they're your tips for the week. How many did you get last week, Quarters?
Seven, a little bit better. Seven. Fortunately, I picked against my boys, which is very wise.
8 out of 9, I picked against my boys and paid the price for me. So hopefully we get another good weekend of tipping in. Hopefully your tips go well for you out there. And we'll see you and you'll hear us back here at the same time next week.
Look forward to it.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.